news. It's one form of chaos or another. But I am going to open us up in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you right now, God, for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, I ask that you would go down every single aisle. Lord, open up every single heart. I ask that you would get every attention span, Father, gathered up. And Lord, I thank you that as your word goes out, that it falls on the good ground that you've spoken about in your word. And Father, I thank you right now that you give us the courage to learn and to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first place I would like to go to tonight is John chapter 14, verse 27. And I think to really cover a subject, you have to have some detailed points. I don't think it's enough to just speak on a subject without having scripture to back it up. And I don't think that you can really tell people to have an inner peace without showing and sharing with them how to have that. A pastor can't just say, you got to have peace. And they can't just leave you with that, because to me, that doesn't make any sense. You can't tell somebody to do something and not show them or tell them how to do it. And I like to stick with God's word. That's the only thing that sets people free, is the truth that's found in there. So the first thing that I want to really say is, you know, we need to evaluate where our peace comes from. Where does the peace come from? Well, we know that it comes from the Lord. And so one of the things that I want to bring out is, stop looking for peace in places where peace will never be found. Amen. Stop looking and seeking for peace in the places that it can never be found. The only place and the only source of peace is going to be the Lord. Amen. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't find it in a pill. You can't find it in a relationship. You can't find it in any other thing except for the Lord. So in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, I give you peace. And I'm going to go in between two versions here. And for the sake of understanding, I like people to understand what I'm preaching about. And a lot of times when I want to capture something out of his word, I'll put it in the plainest translation that I know, which is the CEV version. And so in the word of God, it says here, I'm going to read it out of the NIV, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So it says here, I give you peace, and the kind of peace that only I can give. There's peace in a moment, and that's where we get it out of all those things that I mentioned. But there's an eternal peace. There's a peace that's deep in our soul, and that type of peace can only be in Jesus. It's the kind of peace that only he can give. So his word tells us that there is a very specific peace that can only be given by God. And he describes that peace in his word, and he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So he gave us peace, and he left us with it. He said, here you go. My peace I'm going to give you. And not only am I giving it to you, but I'm leaving it with you. I'm leaving it with you. And how many believers take the peace that God left us with, that he gave us, and it's up for grabs so easily? People say, well, this situation has really stolen my peace. I say that. I'm guilty of saying that. And in that moment, it's a feeling. But the truth of the matter is we gave it up. Nobody can take that peace from you. Jesus gave it to you, and he left you with it. And so when we find ourselves in a place where we don't have peace, or we're losing our peace, we have to understand that a part of us is letting it go. And so this peace is described in the word, and it says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. And then it says, I do not give to you as the world gives. The world gives you something and then it takes it back. Amen. The way that God gives is a notable, different type of giving, and it has a certain pattern. I love how it reads here. It says, I give you peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It is not like the peace that this world can give, so don't be worried or afraid. So he describes this peace as one that can only come from him. And then he says, because of the type of peace that I've given you, don't be worried or afraid. Because of the type of peace that I gave you. Now, I used to read things like this and feel, Brother Paul, like it was pure insanity. It's like the verse that tells you to rejoice in suffering. And I used to think, that's insane. Why can we rejoice when we're suffering? But the Word tells us things to do. And he tells us, don't be worried or afraid. In this NIV, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to look at verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26. We are going to look at verse 3. Your peace does not hinge on your circumstance. Your peace does not hinge on your circumstance. It hinges off of what decision that you've made. Have we made the decision that we're going to keep the peace regardless of what happens? And that's a hard thing to do. It's hard for me to do it. So in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, my first point was the peace comes from the Lord. The type of peace that we're looking for, that can only come from God. If you are putting an immense amount of pressure on a relationship, on a friendship, on a job, on a this or a that, at some point, that thing that you think your peace hinges on is going to fail you. Because nothing can take the place of what God can do. Nothing. So when God says, I give you peace, not as the world gives, there's that peace that you can only get from him, and it can't be through a person. It's from the Creator. So in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, this is the first instruction that I'm going to put out tonight about keeping inner peace with outward chaos. The first step in this is getting your mind in the right place. Getting your mind in the right place. That's a hard thing to do. I think it is a job all in itself that we could spend 24 hours a day trying to control what our mind wants to go on and think about. I don't know about y'all, but multiple times in a day, Melissa, I have to redirect my mind because it's either in the gutter, it's thinking something I shouldn't, it's thinking about what could happen, it's thinking about what should have happened, all of the things. And when we allow our mind to go to those places, we allow thoughts to come in that will not line up with his word. And so to keep our peace, we have to keep our mind in the right place. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And this is talking about a job or an obligation or a promise that God promises to do for the people that have their mind and that have kept their mind stayed on God. It says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. In another translation, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, those whose mind is stayed on thee. So for the person that says, God, no matter what, I'm going to try to keep my mind on you. That's like trying to wrangle a huge tiger from the zoo. Because our mind is a force that is to be reckoned with. But our mind has to come in line with the Word of God, and it's our job to make it do that. But there's a promise, and God promises to keep us in a state of perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. Our mind likes to fixate on something, especially when there's chaos all around us. How many of you, you'll get stuck on a problem. That problem, it's like a computer, and it wants to come up, and you may click the X several times, but at some point in the day, you've clicked the X so much that you're tired of resisting the thought or casting down imaginations, and at some point, you have a weak moment where you just allow that thought to just come full across your brain. It fixates. Yes, at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a lot of times when that happens because we're alone, we're by ourselves. The other day, we were working in the garden, and, well, I say we, but that would be a lie. We were not, but Frank and Carson and Colton, they were working in the yard, and I was sitting. I was supervising. That is a job. I was supervising. And me and Sammy and the dogs, we were kind of playing. And all of the sudden, there was this airplane. And I have personally never been where I lived and have seen this, witnessed it with my own eyes. But there was two of them, and they came down extremely low on the property. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh. And then I thought of this message, and I thought, you know, really, that's like our mind, and that's like our thoughts. Sometimes these thoughts come so close to home that we're going to be tempted at some point in the day to go there. A few days ago, I was having a problem with this very scenario, and I was on the phone, and I was trying to work it out, and I really got nowhere with the working it out. And, you know, sometimes we want to work the problem when God's saying, just go ahead and rest. And if you are like me, your mind wants to fixate on you fixing that problem. And there's something inside of your crazy little self that won't let you rest until you just try to do everything that you can do. And then you do everything, and Jill, it's still not better. And I did that. I actually did that 2 days in a row because I'm a slow learner. And I walked outside because sometimes having just a smidge of a little walk can make me snap out of my strong-willed wrong behavior. And I walked to our trailer. And then I walked back in our new house. And I told Frank, I said, Frank, in these words, I laugh because you think a preacher just, come on now. I said, Frank, I guess that I'm just going to have to trust God with this because He's the only one that can do anything with this because I've tried all day and nothing is going right with it. And then I sat down in my chair in the corner and I sulked for about 30 minutes. And God said, you could have just had a good afternoon, but you decided to go there and obsessively think about something that you can't control. A lot of the things that we lose our peace over are the things in life that we cannot control. I'm convinced that that's why God said, I'm going to give you a specific type of peace, a peace that only I could give you, because there's a peace that literally, when God gives it to you, it supersedes any type of issue, because sometimes we just have issues. We just have problems, and there ain't nobody but God that can work them out. And when we have that, we just need to say, you know what, God, have your way in this situation. God, I'm going to trust you. But there is a promise, and it says, I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on him. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And my next thought, an instruction to keeping that inner peace in a world where everything is chaos, is you have to be willing to take those thoughts captive. You have to be willing to make your mind line up with what God says. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start with verse 3. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Translation. And it says this, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men," so though we're human, "we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, the weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." How many people in here, you would say, you would describe yourself as this? "I'm a fixer. I like to get to the bottom of things. I'm motivated to fix things. And I like things to be in order and I like them to be situated. I am that way." Those are the areas where our peace seems to go the quickest. Because Joe, no matter how much we know that there's things that we can't control, the devil, with the help of ourselves, at times gets us to fighting a battle we were never meant to fight. And unfortunately, that battle has begun in our mind. Many of the battles that we fight are the battles of the mind. And the Word of God is saying here, you know, we don't fight with a normal set of fighting gear. We're not going to fight the devil off with a knife or a spear or a chainsaw or whatever. We're going to fight him off in a specific type of way, because after all, we're in a spiritual warfare. And that spiritual warfare for many people that don't have peace started in their mind. We thought about something. We indulged the thought. We continued to think it. We let the thought play out. You see this in a lot of people. They'll argue with people in their head and then wonder why they're in a bad mood by 9:30 in the morning. Well, you've argued and you've had an imaginary argument and that's just gone on. So no wonder you're not ready to face the day and be in a good mood. Because see, we decided to do that. Now, am I right or wrong? Is anybody argue with somebody in their head? And you're like, and then you're like, why am I in a bad mood? Okay. So it says, "We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ." To keep the peace in your life, you have to take the thoughts of doubt, the thoughts of strife, the thoughts of envy, the thoughts of bitterness, and you have to be willing to take them captive. Because those thoughts are the things that set themselves up against God. I'm going to give you a few examples. I talk about this a lot because I think it's an area where people tend to lie. And I just tend to just keep it real as I can get away with. Some congregations, on some days I can get away with more. Usually on Sunday nights I can get away with a little bit more. But when we pray for things and God begins to answer our prayers, most of the time he doesn't answer those prayers how we thought he was going to. And I've been praying about my enemies. And it's not that I have a whole bunch of them, but the ones I do, well, I legitimately have them. And so I've said, God, help me with my enemies. I didn't mean make them appear every time I go out in public. But I think that's what God heard. Because that is what has proceeded to happen. I was in Walmart tonight. And I was getting all these drinks. And I was trying to make sure I had something for everybody. There's some things with zero sugar. There's some things with lots of sugar. There's some things with energy things and all of the things. And I used to give Dad a hard time. And I used to say, Dad, let's practice smiling in Walmart. And that's what he'd do. And I have noticed that sometimes I have a scowl on my face now when I go into Walmart. And I think that pastoring does that to you. I don't know. It just, because you're just like, ugh. And so in my head tonight, I was like, I'm going to put a smile on my face. And I'm going to go around in this store and I'm going to smile creepily this whole time. So that's what I did. And I'm the only chick in there getting all this soda. And I'm sure everybody's thinking, what is she doing with all the soda? Is she trying to give soda to every person in the county now? No, I'm not. I always double think everything because, Casey, I guarantee you, there is going to be one crazy person. They're going to see a picture of what I've picked out, like this awning, and they're going to have a problem with it. Okay? I have had hate mail over the dumbest things. And so it's made me overthink and triple think and quadruple think literally everything that I do. So I'm walking in Walmart, and I've prayed over my enemies for about a year and a half because I could blame a whole lot of stuff on them. But I'm no longer interested in doing that. What I need is I need to get right. And that's just the truth. Joe, the problem is with me. Because my mind won't let it go. They probably sleep great at night. That's a whole thing about keeping that inner peace, is getting them things with them people that you're arguing in your head about. Get those things out of you. Because, see, that's the things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I was sitting there running my buggy through Walmart. And all of a sudden, and I got that weird grin on my face because I'm trying to look happy everywhere I go. And here I am, and I go past the entry of the Walmart, and there a whole cluster of my enemies are. Now, the old Kelly would be like, I was headed towards the checkout, but by golly, I'm going to aisle three because I don't want to see their face. Now, look, if you don't like this type of preaching, I want you to understand something. You got to have somebody that will keep these things real. You do. You don't need a pastor up here lying, saying, I don't have any enemies and life is great. Because that is not reality. It's just not. Exactly. And Jill, in that moment, I told myself, smile in hand, buggy in hand, all the sodas. I said, you know what? I don't have anything, not one thing on my conscience that concerns these people, not even one time did I ever do them wrong. Not one time. But yet I've let my heart get messed up over them. And I thought, I'm going to do something different today. And I'm going to keep the smile on my face. I'm not going to turn away from them because I don't have anything to be ashamed of. And I just looked at them, and they looked at me, and I smiled like I was going to the dentist. I just opened up those big old, with my chiclet teeth, and I just let them have the biggest smile that I could conjure up on this face. Because you know what, Joe? I'm more committed now than I've ever been before to just have some peace in my life. They didn't steal my peace. I let it go. It wasn't on them. It was on me. And we've got to lose the thinking that it's all everybody else's fault. Own it, change it, go. So we have to take the thoughts captive. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And I want to talk about anxiety, because anxiety is a huge stealer of peace. And I believe that anxiety has more of a place in our society than it ever should have. It is now an excuse of why everything happens. I didn't do what I should do because I had anxiety. I didn't go to my job because I have anxiety. Now, this message is not going to catch me any brownie points, but speaking from someone that suffers with an immense amount of anxiety, I can preach about it, and I'm not going to feel bad about it. And if people don't like it that watch on Facebook, they don't like it, well, they don't have to come here. But I deal with anxiety on a regular basis. And I still suit up, and I still show up, because at the end of the day, anxiety is going to rule you, or you're going to rule it. You're going to manage your fears, or you're going to let them manage you. But there's going to be managing going on no matter what's going on in your life. And anxiety is the thing that wants to cripple in and talk you out of doing everything that God told you to do. Anxiety is the thing that wants to creep into your life. And anxiety is a creeper. I mean, it just creeps around till it gets its toe in the door, and then it wants to just step on in. Yep. I can say that because I live that at times. Anxiety needs to turn into prayer. Anxiety needs to turn into prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, always be glad because of the Lord. I will say it again, be glad. In the Bible I have it up here, it says, rejoice always. I will say it again, rejoice. Always be gentle with others. The Lord will soon be here. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. This is the part of God's word that I used to think was pure insanity. Because it's like, how can God tell us to not worry about anything? And then he tells us why. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about it. If it deserves your worry, it certainly deserves your prayer. If the anxiety crept in over whatever it is, a lot of times it's, what if this doesn't work out? What if I fail? What if everything just goes bad and I can never recover from it? What if, shoulda, coulda, woulda, all of those things. They become bigger if we continue to think on them. The Word says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And then He tells us how to pray. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with a circumstance or a situation and you just said to God, I don't even know how to pray about this? There's times where we don't have the words to even say because it's just too heavy for us. God tells us right here, with thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. With thankful hearts. When I get real anxietied up about something, and I'm not going to lie, I have been this week. I've had a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that it's not that I even need them to go right. I need them to go exactly right. No pressure. We got to hit the bullseye with some of these things that need to go exactly right. And I've wrestled, and here's what I've done. Gotta love Dr. Pepper. I've wrestled with it, and then I've set it down. Okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. Praise Jesus, I'm holy. Okay, I'm just trying to go throughout my day and all the things I got to do. And all of a sudden, some thought will come in, and then I've got a hold of it again. And do this about 20, 30, 40, 50 times a day, and you're exhausted because you've wrestled with it constantly. That's why the Word of God tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle and battle with it with the natural way that we would. It's a spiritual battle. And at some point, you just have to be able to say, God, this anxiety that I have surrounding the situation, I'm going to redirect it into a prayer. Because when I look back, there's not been one time, not even one time, where you were 1 second late for me. There's not been one time that you didn't show up. There's not one time that you decided I was too bad and you didn't want to mess with me. There's not been one time where you said, no, I'm not going to help you out this time. See, what God's looking for is He's looking for the believers that say, hey, I refuse to take it back. I refuse. Lord, in this moment, I'm going to give it to you. And every time an anxiety thought wants to come up, God, I'm going to redirect the thought and I'm going to remember the perfect track record that you do have. Amen. When has God failed you? When has He let you down? When did He leave? See, He doesn't have leaving in Him. That's why when he made the promise, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, He stood behind His word all this time. The anxiety needs to be turned into prayer. A lot of times, this is what it looks like. God, I may be anxious over that, but Father, this did not catch you by surprise. What I'm going through right now, you knew that it was going to happen. So, Lord, right now, you're an all-knowing God. So, Father, I choose to just leave it at your feet because, God, I know that you're going to work it out. Amen. A lot of times we want to know how He's going to work it out. How are you doing it? When are you going to do it? If I just said, everybody in Parish Christian Center tonight, you're going to go on a vacation with Pastor. We're all going. Would you just trust me that we're all going on vacation? Let's go. Sandy's like, I ain't trusting you for that. God says, you know what? I gave you perfect peace. I gave it to you. I left it with you. Is it a natural, normal human thing to have anxiety about it when everything in the whole, everything looks bad about the situation? Yeah, I would say that that's normal. A lot of times to have that supernatural, blessed life, you have to make the decision, am I going to be normal or am I going to be abnormal? The abnormal is choosing not to live in fear despite what everything looks like. Choosing to not live in the fear despite what everything looks like. things can start looking very bad. But you know what, Billy? Nothing is what it seems like. Not to the natural eye. We can look at something one way, and God has already sized it up, and He's looked at it in a way that we could never look at it, because He knows everything about the situation. I'm going to keep reading. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, because you belong to Jesus, not because you were perfect, not because you handled everything right, but because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. There's a peace for God's kids that can't even be understood by people looking at you. There's a peace that you can have. It's the same peace that He gave you, and it's the same peace that He left with you. People won't even understand it. And this peace, I love this verse and I love this translation, because this is one of the most amazing things I think that can be said in today's society. And this peace will control the way that you think and the way that you feel. The peace does that. It will control the way that you think and the way that you feel. The way that you think and the way that you feel. I remember several years ago applying for the Manna Center grant. And I'm going to tell you, there really, when I look back on that, the food ministry has been the one thing, and this sounds silly, but I will keep it real with you. The food ministry has been the one thing in my life, Joe, that I gave it to God, and I said, God, I 100% give it to you. It was your idea. You do whatever you want to do with it. And I'm going to tell you, out of everything that comes out of my life, the food ministry is the most blessed thing in it. And it is because, and I wish there were things, there's things in my life I wish I could just say, God, the problem is I am saying, God, have it 100%, but my actions and all the things aren't lining up, and I'm trying to get those under control. God was able to come in. He was able to bless it because I gave it all to Him. Amen. Every single bit of it. There was not a lot of stress with the Manna Center, because here's what I knew. Several months before that, I was coming home from Branson, and I was sleeping. I do that when I'm coming home from Branson, because those curves don't agree with me. So I sleep through those. And everything agrees with me, because I'm not watching all the turns. And as I was coming out of that sleep, God began to speak to me, and He said, Kelly, I'm going to give you a place, and I want you to call it the Manna Center. And I'm going to make a covenant with you that I'm going to always supply for you. And when I applied for the Manna Center, I knew that if it came about, it would all be a God thing. It would all be a God thing. In that time frame, when I was believing God that it was going to come about, one of the people, and they don't even go to this church, that supported us in such a huge way financially, they just stopped giving. And I was broken up about that because you know what? When something happens, the pastor always wants to blame theirself. I blame myself anytime somebody leaves. I'm sitting here thinking, what did I do? And you know what? Very seldom was it anything that I did. And I walked out here, and I was on that property, and I told God, I said, God, what are we going to do now? Hi, Charlie. I'm going to let you go to Mama. She's like, all right. Pause that story. I asked her the other day what her favorite color was. She told me glitter. I thought, I'm adopting that kid. And then I remembered, girls, I can't have girls. There's a reason I didn't get them. Too much drama. But I walked out there to the property, and I said, well, God, what now? What now? You know what God told me, Brother Paul? He said, Kelly, this manna center is happening. I've got it from beginning to end. But the very important aspect that God wanted to make very known to me, and it's important that pastors know this, because you get a pastor that's dictated off of people, and we'll be jumping through hoops just to keep people in the pew. Pastors need to do the right thing no matter who's sitting in the pew and who ain't. And people, when they want to leave because you've offended them, if we just go chasing after every single person, there goes the anointing right there, because we're going to be exhausted by the time we actually do what God called us to do. Amen. And he said, Kelly, this man in center is happening. I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it. Because nobody's getting my glory for the manna center. Amen. Nobody. Amen. Not one man on this planet's getting this glory. Amen. You know how many thousands of people that manna center has provided for?
Amen. Praise God.
When God says, test me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. It chases us down, the blessing. I thought giving 479 children meat a couple Thursdays ago was going to deplete our stash. Well, let me tell you, Melissa, it did not even put a dent in there. Now, I'm not bragging about me, but what I am bragging on is God. And there is a peace and a valid confirmation inside of us that we don't have to get all Willy Wonka every time something looks like it ain't working out. And I have wrestled with this all week long. All week long I've wrestled with it. God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way that you think and the way that you feel. There's been a lot of situations where I've just had to say, it's all God, and it's all His responsibility, and He will take care of it. John chapter 16, verse 33. Miss Sherry, have you gotten Nick in all of our things? He's got Nick and three kiddos. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me. Stop looking for peace on the phone. I was on the phone for 2 days straight. Didn't get no peace there. I only got more trouble. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. What did he tell us? Well, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. What a promise. In this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have it. You're going to have a struggle between peace and chaos. When you have it, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to live in chaos or am I going to live in the peace that he gave me? So many times we want to say, this situation has stolen my peace. No situation has the ability to do that. Not my situation, not your situation. Is it troubling? Yes, it is. But nothing can steal what God gave you. When he says, I gave you peace and I left it with you, nobody steals that. You allow it. If you're wrestling with a situation, you need to let this soak in. Because the devil wants you to have a miserable life, and it starts in your mind. Amen. And it starts in your thoughts that you allow. If you're thinking a thought about how it ain't going to work out, you're getting on board with it not working out. You're going to have to take it captive, and you're going to have to say, self, when was the last time that God didn't work it out for me? And you have to self-talk. You have to self-talk. Last place for me tonight, John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome it. What does take heart mean? Cheer up. Cheer up. Be courageous. Be confident. Be full of joy. He's overcome the world. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Will do what I have been doing. And then it takes it a step further. And it says, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So in John chapter 16, when it says, in this life you're going to have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. If Christ overcame it, so can you. And he actually says in his word here, and his word doesn't lie. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. If Christ overcame it, so can you. And you can overcome it in a great way. Amen. Amen. I love y'all. I'm going to get Miss Sherry up here. Charlie, you want to help Pastor? Pastor?